But, you know,
this conference.
And this topic isn't new for many of you. It's and hopefully not new, especially if you've been in network marketing at all over any period of time. It's just I read an article about it this weekend, and I just thought to myself, I says, you know, something told me inside me it's time to refresh ourselves about this whole concept. And maybe it's because I needed the refreshing, but if so, then we all probably need some refreshing on this, because we get out there and we might be communicating to people all the time with our network marketing business, doing Manatech and sharing, you know, the greatness of the Give for Real program today, and ISCA is about to come upon us, which is going to be awesome. And I mean, there's just so many great things that are happening in Manatech to share with people that we get really excited about going out there and sharing and sharing, and we can't wait to turn people on to our incredible real food technology and PhytoBirth and all the greatness that we have. But the bottom line is that we sometimes, because of our enthusiasm, we get so excited about it that we just kind of become like a volcano, and we just start telling people all this incredible stuff, and we don't understand why they don't respond to us. Why is it that people are not saying yes? Why is it that people are walking away from me? Why is it that people aren't even listening to me? Why is it, I mean, how many times have you asked that question of yourself? And I'm going to try to answer that question for you today, because it's just a question that's going to continue to come up for you until you take on a new approach with how you go out and talk to people. Because it really is us. And, you know, we train a lot of things. When we look at what we do in Manatech, and I can look back at all the things I train people on, and we can look at the MAP program, you know, we train people how to make a list, how to contact and invite, how to do a presentation, how to close and duplicate the process. And, you know, these are great materials and great, you know, great parts and really core principles around the business, unquestionably. That we need to understand all of those, we need to become proficient at all of them. But the number one problem, as we discussed last week when we talked about the phone teams, the number one problem is that when we're just not contacting, inviting enough people, or making ourselves, you know, presentable in a way that people get excited about what we're offering. And that's where we are falling back. The concept of the phone team that we discussed last week at length, really had to do with how do I muster my people together? How do I gather people? How do I get people to start doing the connections and contacting people like they need to? Just getting them, you know, ready to hear a presentation. Not even, you know, necessarily making a presentation, but getting them to contact people to hear a presentation. And that's what the phone team is really about. It's about getting people together so that there are enough contacts, and then, of course, the support system that exists for that phone team is phenomenal, which is one of the reasons, you know, I like the idea of the phone team, but it wasn't until I heard the call last week that I really got sold on the whole picture, because as I believe that it allows you as a leader to train people throughout the whole process from start to finish, and that's what people want. The majority of people out there are looking for a system that they can jump in, be a part of a team, and it works as a team group. In other words, there's somebody behind them supporting them every step of the way. If they don't feel they have that support, if they don't feel that they have that team, they're not going to do it. They're just not going to do it. So if you want people to get active and become business builders with you, you've got to have that team, and you've got to have that support mechanism for them, and that's what the phone team gives you. But one of the things that is kind of left out of that process, they teach you how to talk to people just by basically you watching other people talk to them. But I think there's some core principles that we always need to have in mind. They're core principles that a new person definitely needs to have in mind. And those, a lot of these things come out of what we looked at in natural selling with Michael Oliver, where he talks about you know, how that discovery stage about really working with people and asking questions of them and listening to them, those are critical. And that's really what today's call is about. It's about getting back to that core principle. We can mechanize our business in a way that's very impersonal. And we can get excited, and we can grow it a little bit and get, you know, jump out of the box in a quick way, but we're not going to grow depth, and we're not going to grow longevity, and we're not going to have that business that never disappears if we don't build relationships, because this is a relationship business. So let's talk about that core principle of building that relationship. And that core principle is you've got to come from a position where you have language in your vocabulary, how you talk to people, that communicates effectively with a prospect. And you can choose to use scripts, you can pick up some scripts and use those, but the problem with it is that scripts will never do the full job. Scripts can get you started, but they'll never do the full job because you never know what the next thing is going to come out of that person's mouth, and you've got to be ready for it. So the idea is that scripts are a good tool. They're especially a good tool, I find, with brand new people that don't have any clue what to say. They're just kind of out there mumbling along, and when you don't know what to say, what's the first response? a new brand new associate in your downline, if they don't know what to say, their first response is going to be, I'm not going to say anything at all. So they just shut down. You can have them make a contact list with 150, 250 people on it, but that's not going to do them any good when they're not going to talk to people because they don't know what to say. And that's when scripts can play a huge role for them to get them started, at least get them started. But then they freak out because they don't know how to respond to objections. They don't know how to respond to the person. So they get all these other things inhibit them. So they need training and teaching and coaching on how to, take those next steps. And so what we need to look at is, okay, so where do we first come from? Where does the problem first exist? And that's what I talked about earlier. In network marketing, where we come from is where we've been. In other words, what got you started in Manatech in the first place? If you start looking back at what was the initial exposure you had around Manatech, and I think it's really a lot of fun because when I do trainings like this, I ask people, so what was your first exposure to Manatech? And a lot of the people in the field that I end up training are people that say, well, Mary Jo, somebody brought me to one of your meetings. And that's kind of fun and exciting to think that I was one of their first exposures to Manatech. But, you saw something in a meeting or you had a presentation with somebody or, historically, what did we do in the past? 3 years ago, before the Text AG case, people, would come to meetings, they'd hear some testimonials, and they'd just find them so incredulous. That intrigued them. What is this stuff, right, that can create all these phenomenal results in people's health? And so people were intrigued. They read about it. They talked to some of the people. They saw the joy in the hearts of the Manatechers, and they decided, wow, this is exciting. This Ambritos is terrific. And they got really excited about the products, the company, the opportunity, whatever it was. So we know that most people get started or signed up in a level of some heightened excitement. They have enthusiasm and excitement about it. And so when we take those people on and we start getting them to share with other people, their tendency is to just overwhelm people with their own excitement. And can that work? And, of course, the answer to that is yeah, because people, you're playing a role then of attractor factor. You're going to try to attract people. Your excitement you feel is going to be contagious, and it's going to attract other people. And there's a certain percentage of the population that will work well with, that they will read your excitement, and they all get excited with you. But there's other good share of the population that you're going to be overwhelming them with this process because it's when you're in your stage of excitement and enthusiasm and you're babbling on and on about all the greatness of what you have, you're failing to have the focus on the right place. So there's that time when enthusiasm can really hurt you. It can really be your worst enemy. And it's when you start chasing people away because that enthusiasm shuts down another person. And did you ever feel that? If you look back at interacting with people, did you ever feel like you shut down a person that was across from you? And I can honestly tell you I've probably shut down hundreds of people because I tend to be one of those people that is so enthusiastic and passionate about things. And it took me a long time, and I still have to work on it. Because when I get passionate about something, I want to run with it, and it was a lot of training and work on myself that allowed me to cut back and try to. It wasn't about not being as passionate; it was about how I express myself in a communication setting. So I guess what I'm suggesting to all of you is don't cut out your passion, don't ever lose your enthusiasm. Just learn how to utilize it and channel it as best you can in a setting where you're working with other people. Because there are a lot of people in this world, when you come across them passionate and enthusiastic, they're going to look at you and they're going to be you know, that's not me, I can never do that, I can't be like her, I can't do that, how can she be so excited, my gosh, doesn't she understand we're in a recession, I can hardly put food on the table, she's not sympathetic or empathetic. I mean, they'll come to all this judgment. Isn't that what we do? That's our human nature, is all about judgment. So they're going to take a lot of judgmental positions about you when you're this effervescent, you know, energizer bunny that comes into their life, and all you want to do is talk about you and your, what you're doing and how great it is and what it can mean for them, and on and on and on and on. So, you know, and some of you on the call right now are going, but Mary Jo, that's who I am, and that's what, and trust me, that's who I am. I mean, that's what I like to do. I love to just share with people the greatness. It's, you know, I can share it from my Christian perspective. I love to share the gospel that way. I love to share Manatech that way. I love to share the Give for Real program. I mean, it's just awesome, all the things that we have to share in life to help support people. But the problem is, we're doing what? In every single one of those kinds of conversations, we're all about us. And that's what you got to quit doing. You got to walk away from being all about you. You don't want your prospect to say, well, I can't be like her. I can't do that. I can't do this. Well, she's just too on fire. She's like, oh, if that's the way you got to be successful, I'll never make it in this business. You can't let anyone get to those conclusions, because those are the conclusions that'll cause them to walk away or never even try. They'll never step into it. There's only a small percentage of our population out there that will respond to that. It's a percentage of our population that's going to want to compete with you and outdo you. And there are those of us out there that are like that or have been like that in our past, but it's that you don't want to limit yourself to being effective with only 10% of the population. You want to be able to be effective with 100% of the population, which means what? It means you've got to change your focus. Yes, you're going to tell them about what you have, but that comes later. So what it is all, what this is all about is not about, can I tell you a little bit about my business? Would you like to book a party with me? Would you like to have a home, you know, would you like to have a home party in our party business? And whatever way you're doing the business. So, oh, I'd love you to come to this meeting with me. Oh, you've got to come because of this, this, and this, and this. And it's always about your reasons. It's always about you, the focus. If you look at all those questions that you're asking people, always look back. When you ask a person a question about attending something or hearing about your business or whatever it is, ask yourself one question. Who is this question about? And if the question is about you, you know you're going the wrong direction. You know that's the wrong direction. You need to be in a pathway in this business of giving your prospect an indication that it's all about their needs and their desires for their lives, not about what you want for their lives or somebody else wants for, because if just because you want it for their life doesn't mean they want it for their life. And the best way for you to interact with somebody is by using what they've told you to draw them closer to what they want in life, what their needs are, meeting their needs, and creating the dreams that they have for their lives, not the dreams that you have for their lives. So you got to remember that every time you go out there doing your thing and running your mouth off and going in a direction with somebody that's all about you, and the question statements are about your business and getting greater business and building a business and all this stuff, you know, if you haven't found out what their need is, if you haven't found out what their, you know, what the benefits are for them, what is this going to be? What are the advantages and the benefits to them of getting involved in this, to them personally? Not the features of your business, but the benefits to them personally. Huge difference between the two things. So you've got to find out what is that hot button, what's important to them, what are their critical needs, and that's what you got to work on. So we can guarantee our no's if we don't get out of that trend where we tend to be all about us and we're asking questions and talking about us and talking about what the business meant for us and telling them our story. You know, some of you have great stories, but again, is that story about them, or is it a story about you? And that's what you want to make sure that you're doing. You're keeping the information about them until you get enough information that you can tie your presentation into what it is for them. So, what is the most important characteristic that we need to have? We need to have listening skills. What's the least probably the characteristic that's least prevalent around the United States and the world today is listening skills. I mean, it's horrific how few of us really listen. And the reason that so few of us really listen is because where do you learn listening skills? If I ask a room of 50 people, where did you learn your listening skills? There will be majority of them, 90% plus, will have never learned listening skills. They've learned bad listening behavior, but not listening skills. You can't put the word skill of a bad behavior, right? But the ones that do respond yes are the ones that went into either counseling or coaching or some professional endeavor in college and in post-college work where they actually learned listening skills in a setting because it was part of their career path. But it wasn't my career path. I had an economics and poli sci undergraduate and then law school. I never learned listening skills. So where did I learn how to, and perhaps another way of saying this is, where did you learn how to listen or how not to listen? And the number one place we pick up this is where? It's from our parents. It's where we grew up. It's our environment as young people, as children. If you had parents that never listened, and how many of us can look right now on this call? How many of you have small little children at home, and when they talk to you, you kind of ignore them because that gibberish talk just sometimes drives you a little crazy, or your life is still all about you for some reason, and your kids are there just because you had kids and they're there. But, you know, and I'm not saying you don't love them. I'm just saying that, you know, when they talk about all this nonsense, it gets old at times, so you don't even really hear what they have to say. Well, you're teaching them in that process. You're teaching them bad listening behavior. And we don't even realize it. We just think that we're trying to get things done around our house, notwithstanding the children around us. But in effect, what we're doing is we're teaching bad listening behavior. And so we've got to start watching everything we do as parents. Are we really hearing our children? Are we stopping and listening to our children? Are we introducing in their lives good or bad listening behaviors? Because that's where it starts for those kids. And that's what they pick up on. And for me, I did that same thing. I picked up on my parents, and it was incredible. After I started learning about listening skills and all these things, it was like looking back at the behavior that my mother had. I mean, it was amazing to me. I don't think she ever listened. I remember times where I'd be in the midst of a conversation trying to talk to her about something, and all of a sudden she was on a different subject. It had nothing to do with what I was conversing on. Well, the reason was she wasn't listening to me at all. And that happened over and over and over and over and over again. And it wasn't just about her getting older. It was about who she'd been her whole life. My mother was always somebody that had more to say than she had time to say, and she was going to get it in, no matter what. So listening, I'm not sure was ever. I mean, I can guarantee that she never had any listening skill training, and I don't think anyone in her life ever talked to her about or her poor listening skills. But that's just, I don't go victim to that. I just say, wow, I see what transpired in my life in terms of developing that. And each one of you need to start looking at that in the background and say, who really do you have in your life that has terrific listening skills? In other words, when you start talking, who sits back and doesn't, you know, look away or start talking over you or, you know, non-responsive or, you know, starts doing the laundry or starts going out to the yard to do whatever. I mean, who really hears you? And when you find somebody in your life that's a great listener, I mean, really hears you, those are the kind of people you want to start associating with because they will help teach you and train you. Your environment will train you to listen differently. There are also some great listening books out there. Carol McCall has great listening tapes. Habits of Highly Most Successful People by Stephen Covey. He's got a write-up in there about listening skills that's just awesome. I mean, he's got a chapter in there just about, you know, almost half of the chapter is about listening skills, which is terrific. You know, he says, you know, seek first to understand and then be understood, right? Seek first to understand. It's a huge proposition that he makes in that book. It's one of the habits of the seven habits of the highly most effective people. Seek first to understand. And if you do that and you put that as a priority in your life, what a difference your life will be and what a difference you'll make in other people's lives. So listening skills, is it crucial for you? Do you need some more work in that area? Then do the work. So many of us, we just dismiss it because we say, oh, I'm 50 years old, Mary Jo. I'm 7 years old, Mary Jo. I'm 35 years old, Mary Jo. I'm too far into my life to go back and learn how to listen. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Learn today. Start today. Put that on a list. Put it on your to-do list that you're going to develop greater listening skills because they're critical. And they're critical for your network marketing business because, again, the focus needs to be on them. And the focus can't be on the other person if you're not even hearing them. So listen first. What Julianne Jones in her article, she talked about heart-centered listening. There are a lot of people that use different kind of things, to be with listening. I mean, there are all sorts of different words that people put around listening skills. But heart-centered is a great word for it, too, because it really describes about you're getting involved. You're hearing what's important from this person from their heart. Because you're opening. In order for me to listen to their heart, what do I need to open up? My heart. I mean, yesterday was a beautiful day for me to utilize this tool in the fact that, you know, our church did what we call Feed the Children Truck, where we parked this gigantic, you know, semi-trailer at an elementary school and made public announcements, and we handed out food to families for 2 hours. We delivered food to cars would pull up, and they were lined up, you know, a mile away. Cars would pull into this elementary school, and I got a chance to talk to each and every one of these cars as they were coming through. Well, we had two lines, so I had one of the lines. But what a blessing it was to just be able to talk to these people. Now, I had a story to tell. I had introduced them to our church, but I wanted to hear from them so I could say, what's happening in your life that we can pray for you? Or what's happening in your life? Is there other, you know, outreach programs that you'd be interested in for you and your family? We love the community. How can we touch your life in other ways? This is just our food mission. So it was just a blessing to be able to really ask questions of these people to find out what else is going on for them. Is there other ways that we can support them? What is it about? And it wasn't about getting people to be members of our church. It was about, hey, we love these people and we want to support them in whatever way that we can support them. And that's what we're about as we walk this earth. So listening skills, just really touching people and listening and hearing and coming from heart. And people will know you're relating from your heart if you come with emotion around it, if you really want to, you know, hug on them. I don't think there was one person yesterday in the cars that I didn't touch. I put my hand on their shoulder in each and every one of those cars. Physical touch is, you know, and some people don't respond to it, but I'm telling you, I love it when people say, well, Mary Jo, some people don't like to be touched. And I smile and I go, yeah, they just need to learn. You know, that's number one. Number two, the idea is this, that's probably less than 5% of our total population, so I'm banking on the other 95. And here's another prospect for you. If people don't like to be touched, if they really get irritated from people getting close to them, let me ask you this question. How effective are they going to be in doing network marketing? So sometimes you get, you're over-responding to a small, minor percentage of our population, and they're changing your behavior because of that to make you lesser of a effective network marketer or whatever other way, you know, a person who impacts lives, let's put it that way, because I really think that's what network marketers are. They're people that impact other people's lives in a significant way. So, you know, you want to be able to be part of their lives. And when you come from love and you come from heart, touching a person is just a normal process that's involved in it. So it's like it's so cool to be there and just come from your heart and relate to somebody. Being heart-centered listening is the way you listen to their heart is you open up your heart to hear. So the communication occurs at the heart-to-heart level, not the head-to-head level. And that's what all the other stuff. Oh, my gosh, do we have a great program. It's called the Give for Real program. I can't wait to tell you about it. Where am I? Where am I when I talk like that? I'm all in my head. So you really want to get to that heart level. And some of the things that can help you get to the heart level when you're talking to people, let's say, you know, and this is just basically focusing on them. When you're focusing on them, you can talk to them and ask them questions about what's going on in your life. How are you doing through this recession? What's going on? What do you do for a living? You know, do you enjoy it? You know, you're asking them those questions. You're asking them going through form and asking them questions about their life, focusing on them. And when they say something, like they say, oh, my husband just lost his job, and you go, oh, my gosh, that's got to really be troublesome for your family. I know losing a flow of income can really be devastating. And you relate to them. You relate to it. You show empathy. There's your heart. That's the heart. You don't go, oh, your husband lost his job. Well, my gosh, there's a perfect situation for you to get involved with network marketing. Come on over. You know, is that hard or is that all about you? Where's the focus? Again, keep the focus on them. Focus intently on what the other person is sharing. And for a while, you've got to just put yourself aside. You're not important in that conversation at that time. So know how to make that shift. Know how to be there for them, with them. It's all about them. That's the triggering. That's called that heart-centered listening. And we all have the capacity to do that. But it's very hard sometimes when we are so jacked up about, hey, I can't wait to tell them about Amber Toast. Oh, I can't wait to show them about this. I can't wait to... It's great that you're enthusiastic. But up front, it's all about them. Focus on them. You know, find out what's their, you know, some people use the word hot buttons. I think that's got a little insensitivity to it, but it's, if it works for you, then use that. But you're going to find the trigger points. You're going to find the things that are important to them. You're going to find out who they are, what they want in their life, what are their dreams, and that's about focusing on them. Genuine curiosity. You have genuine, notice the word, genuine in the outline. Genuine curiosity. If you go through the form and ask questions and focus on them and you're not really interested, it's going to come across so clear to that prospect. So you've got to be genuine with your interest and intrigue in them, right? And some of the ways, Julianne, in her article she wrote up, she says, well, how do I show some of that genuity? Ingenuity up front, it's the way you do that is you can, and she gave three ideas of it. Begin with a real compliment. When people are valued, they are more likely to open their minds. So what would a compliment be? Well, you can't begin with a compliment in every conversation, perhaps, because you don't know much. You don't know much about the person. When you first meet somebody or somebody introduces you, you know, you can just start asking them questions about form. But you can come out with a compliment, like the person says, well, you know, you say, family, do you have any family? Yeah, I've got family. I've got four kids. And you say, really great. Sounds like you really love bringing up kids and it's family's important to you. And you know, just you can see their heart. I can see in your heart. You can say, I can see in your heart that you really love your children. It comes across in your smile and the way you talk about them. See what a compliment that is? And that's just boom, right out of the box. That's the kind of responsiveness. But you've got to be sensitive to that and ready to respond that way. And you've got to be focused. You know, a lot of times in our world, we're focused on looking for things we don't agree with the person. Instead of looking for things that are beautiful in a person. No matter what the person looks like, acts like, behaves like, people have inner beauty. And that's what your goal is, to search it out and find it and compliment them on whatever that inner beauty is. So make sure you're putting compliments in your conversation with them. And you don't want to be... you know, effusive with it. You don't want to be excessive with it. You don't want to say a compliment every other word out of your mouth, because then it'll be looked at as disingenuous. And it probably will be disingenuous by you, because it's hard to find all that greatness in every human being, but you're just trying to focus on giving a compliment here or there, at least one, you know, maybe a couple, but not effusively. But okay, so that's what you want to do. That's a great way, again, to you know, really show a genuine interest in them. Keep your language completely centered on what you can do for them. In other words, when it gets to a point where you start talking about it, saying, oh, Sarah, you know, you've told me all about these things. You've told me about your husband losing his job and what a strife, financial strife it's been for you, and you really love staying home raising your kids, and that's so crucial for you, which I so admire in you, that that's a dedication that you have. But you know what? I think I have something for you that would open up the possibility for you to be that stay-at-home mom, but yet financially contribute to the overall financial health of your family's life, with or without your husband at a job. Does that make some sense to you? Would you like to learn some more about that? Because I think it would really fulfill one of those issues that you've raised with me today. You know, that's it. So it's focus on what you can do for them. Focus on what you can do for the, allow her to be a stay-at-home mom who gets to, you know, work from her home and raise her children, which is her passion, which she's unveiled to you already. So again, completely centered on what you can do for them. That's tie your business proposition into what it will do for them based on not what you know about it, not at what it's done for you, but based on the information they've disclosed to you, how it meets their current needs. What benefits are they going to get out of this based on their current needs? And that's what you're listening for. So the bottom line is, the number third tip that she gives us in her article was, use what you know about them to offer. Just like I said, the same thing. I think I have a business opportunity for you that is perfect for you because what? Because you want to be a stay-at-home mom, you want to raise your kids, which is something I incredibly admire in you, because there are a lot of people that don't take that position today, but and don't have that necessarily have that opportunity. But I believe with what I have to share with you, you have that exact opportunity to do that. See, so instead of offering them, hey, I got this great business proposition where you can earn an income. Now, that's why flyers don't always work. You know, when you put the flyers out there, learn how to earn massive income. Who shows up? No one. Because it's not personal to them. It's this earn income thing. It's impersonal. It's a feature, not a benefit. A benefit is it relates to them. A feature is a feature. I mean, you got to keep away from the differences here and understand that you've got to find the benefits to them. And that's what we need to, it's our phraseology that we need to develop. Okay, so anyway, so she, in her article that she wrote, she gave us some sample phraseology. And I want to first, before I go through all this with you, I want to make sure that you understand that Julianne Jones has her own website. If you want to get more information about her, about languaging, you can go to that website. I don't have the exact website address, but you can just, you know, her name is at the top of the outline, and you can go to the internet and just Google her, and you'll find her website. And she spent years in a network marketing company that did a lot of home parties. So you're going to see some of the sample phraseology that she used that ties to home parties. So I'm just going to ask you to just, you know, and I'll walk through some of the language to give you how I would convert it if it's not a home party. But a lot of you do home parties. You can do home parties with Manatech as well. It's not that we don't. We just aren't like Pampered Chef and some of the other companies that are network marketing where they actually sell their goods at home parties. That's not our typical modus operandi. But that's obviously where Julie came from with some of her language. But her other language in here is really good, and I'm sharing it with you because I thought it was good, and you can take it and incorporate it in your own business. But some of the sample phraseology in her first one, she says, I have to acknowledge you for how well you've been handling your whatever it is, your financial situation, your job, your daycare, whatever it is. So look at that. That's a compliment. Do you remember what she said earlier? How do you start? You start with a compliment. I really don't know if I'd have been able to manage it the way you have. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's the humility from you. And it builds the person up even more so because you're acknowledging them for having a character or an ability to do something far beyond what you would be able to do. And this is something that we have the hardest time doing, is acknowledging other people and perhaps that they're, because we have this tendency to try to be better than other people, or it's a comparative thing. Well, when comparison Lydia, am I back on? Trying to make sure I'm on. I heard my phone beep. I hope and pray I'm back on.
Yeah, Mary Jo, I can hear you.
Good. Did I go off for a second, though? Because I saw it go, my phone said out of range. I went, whoops. Okay. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think. Hopefully it was just a blip because I would have heard from you more if it would have been longer. Anyway, So notice that little concept about comparison that we can say, you know what, hey, I really honor you because I don't think I could have done that. You know, I couldn't have been the kind of woman you were in that situation. That is so honorable. You know, and that's, another chance for you to compliment them. I've been thinking of you a lot, and I'd love to buy you a cup of coffee and share with you what I love about what I do. See how neat that is? It's so soft. It's so gentle. It's so caring. It's just open. And so that, and you know, some of this language, when I was reading this language in this article, I said to myself, I said, you know, this language could be used in a phone team as well. I mean, you know, you could call up a friend and go, you know what, I've been thinking a lot about you. I know you've had these issues going on, and you know, you've done such a great job of just keeping everything together. But I would love to buy you a cup of coffee and share with you what I love about what I do. Do you have time to meet this week? Get it? Isn't that neat? I mean, wow, this is powerful. This is really heart stuff that you can incorporate into a phone team concept, as well as just, you know, working with people. The second one she put out there, I can't believe how much you added to the party tonight. I'd love to have you as one of my June hosts. You are so playful and fun, and based on our earlier conversation, it sounds like you need a break. Let's look at our schedules and see when we can get together. Now, again, this is about hosting parties, home parties. So, but notice, let me just depict the issues in here that you find out, right? First of all, where's the compliment? Well, there are a couple of them. The first line is a compliment. I can't believe how much you added to the party tonight. Well, if you were just at an event, let's say you were at a network marketing or networking event, or you went to a social event, or you're somewhere at a church event or something, and somebody was just, you know, showing their personality and they really came out, you could go over to them and say the same thing. I can't believe how much you added to our event tonight. You might say right afterwards, instead of I'd love to have you as a June host, you just go into, you were so playful and fun, and people really, you know, you really turned people on. You really got people excited. You really got people in a joyful spirit. He says, you have such a gift in this area. Okay, so you could say that. And then instead of saying I'd like you to be my June host, you would just say, I'd love to get to know you better. I'm working on something you might have some interest in. You surely would be terrific at it with your personality traits. Following? So that's the kind of language you could use instead of this party concept. But that's what you're doing. You're, again, acknowledging them for characteristics you've seen, you know, complimenting them, and then incorporating it into what you want to do the next step. But it's always about focusing on them, what's great about them, the greatness in them. This is the greatness in you that I've seen. This is a gift I've seen in you, which is so powerful. And I'm working on a project right now that's just touching so many lives. And with your gift, I just know you would be incredible at it. So do you have some time that we can share? You know, that's what you want to do. So just, you know, be effervescent. Love on people. Acknowledge them for their gifts and their traits that they have, and then draw it into, you know, an opportunity for you to share with them the opportunity you have for them to look at it. C in the outline is another great one. This one can fit directly with your Manatech business. You're one of the most outgoing people I've ever met, and I know you've been struggling financially. Notice how you're using, again, there's one of the you're using compliment, and you're using information about them that you have knowledge on, that you have not. This wouldn't be knowledge that you got through gossip. This would be knowledge that you got because you know this person, or it would be knowledge that you've achieved through your discovery process. I think you'd be great at what I do. I don't know if you've ever thought about doing anything like it, but I'd love to sit down and share with you just how this business has changed my life. Neat. So another, notice the heart. You guys get all this heart that comes through this commentary? This is language that you need to start incorporating in how you're sharing with people to be most effective. And then the last one on the outline is look at your wish list. You love my products. I don't want you to have to pay for all of these. Tell you what, let's set up a party so you can get a ton of these for free. Should we look at April or me? Again, this is for sending, putting parties together like Pampered Chef and those kind of things. If I transferred this into a Manatech statement, what would I, might I say? I might say, you know what? You've revealed to me some incredible dreams in your life. One of the things you said is you'd love to help your family with their health. And we have some terrific health products that you've been exposed to, and I know that you'd love to get them for free. So let's meet maybe sometime this week at your convenience where I can share with you how you can achieve that. Okay? So that's how you do it. You just tie it into what you have to offer. You have so many different things that you have to offer to people. You can make magic in anyone's life. But you've got to find out what floats their boat. You have to find out what their needs are, what they're focused on, what their direction is, what they're trying to achieve, what they're, you know, and then relate it back to them. The focus is on them, and your heart is on them. And that's what you want to do. And if you ever want to improve your heart work, okay, there's a great idea for you guys. If you ever want to improve your heart work, just take a two-week trip out there in the mission field and knock on doors for 2 weeks straight. And that will improve your heart work tenfold because you'll be living in your heart every moment, every day, for 6 to 8 hours a day, nonstop. And that's a beautiful thing. It's just a wonderful experience to let you live in that heart. So bottom line is what essential tools to be aware of your languaging and learning to use the words that communicate your interest and care for the other person. So the focus needs to be where? On the other person. That's what it's about. Use languaging. Make sure you listen to the words that you're using, how you're saying things, so that people understand how much you care. People don't, you know, that's one of the things I train in my pathway class. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is just foundational, fundamental network marketing principle. And you've got to drive that home with how you approach this business. Once your prospect feels heard and acknowledged, they will naturally want to reciprocate and do more to support you. And that's the greatness. You're going to tap into them. You're going to contribute important to them, and they're going to want to reciprocate. And that's what makes this business so magical. So that's it, people. So great. I know a lot of you are on this call saying, boy, this is, you know, it's great stuff. You've heard it before. This isn't new to many of you. It may have helped you, you know, something in the call today triggered something new for you. Something in the call today hopefully will help you trigger to get back on track, because sometimes we fall off this track. We start being ineffective and we don't understand why, and this is probably the number one reason why we're not being effective in our business. It has nothing to do with the person not wanting it. It has everything to do with we're not focusing on them. We're not getting to their needs. We're not allowing ourselves to be the best we can be in helping to show them how what we have can support them in achieving what they want in their lives. Okay, people, any last-minute questions, any comments about the call today, any issues for you? Did anyone feel like this was a call that, boy, triggered some old stuff? And
thank you, Mary Jo, for taking us back to the heart core.
God, thank you.
HRT core, because your message doesn't just touch minds. It always touches my heart, and this is very special. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evangeline. Thank you. Yeah. Anyone else?
Mary Jo, on the McAllen event.
Uh-huh.
Is the Friday and Saturday both for guests, or is one just associates?
I'm doing everything is open for guests. So the guests can come Friday or Saturday. Saturday's going to be a training, but it's open for guests.
Yeah. Mary Jo?
Yeah, Fred.
Okay. I wanted to wait till the end on this. This has really been on my mind a lot about these Mana Bears. Is it for sure that they're going to pull a plug on the sample, little sample pack?
Oh, so cute. I haven't had a chance to talk to Manatech yet this morning, but it's on my to-do list today. But I'll let you know, Fred.
All right. Because it just doesn't make sense. We're opening up Mexico, and I want to use those samples that you can spread them out better than the bottle.
I agree. But I don't want you to get too anxious about it until I get a final word. I'll be back to you today, okay?
All right. I sure appreciate it, Mary Jo.
You bet. Absolutely, Fred. I appreciate you. Anyone else? All right, people, you have a great week. Let's pick it up. Let's go out there and love on some people. Let's get that focus on them because that's what they're waiting for. And I know it's hard to do, especially if we're suffering hardships today in our times. You know, things and troubles fall into our lives, and we, you know, that's when our focus gets internalized. I think that's happening in so many ways in our country today, and I could sit here on the phone and talk hours endless about all the things I see that indicate that scarcity mentality just struck us again about, and scarcity mentality is when focus does get internalized. But the idea is that to get your head off that and get out there and focus on other people, and, I mean, it will bless you like nothing else blesses you. And I know that, you know, you can never outgive God. So get out there and love on people and share with people, and it will touch and bless you and touch your heart and give you a new perspective on your own life. So love you all, and have a great week, and I'll talk to you next Monday.